the greatest currency on earth is within us. We're actually giving it to the system that we hate. Everything is an offer. We are giving ourselves offers all the time, but they're not actually us. Instead of feeling like the world is upon you and you are a subject, you're now co-creating with the story of life. And you feel that you're tapping into some of your innate God-given potential. Because we're all equal before and under the law, we each have the same ability to weave our own law through the story of life. If Hollywood invests that much into weaving law and story and spells, why can't we? Offers are really important because a lot of the time the offer isn't about what you do, isn't about whether you pay or don't pay. It's about establishing your standing relative to the offer.
What's up, everyone? This episode of the Way Forward podcast is going to be a little bit different than a typical podcast episode. I'm going to hand the microphone over to my brother, Tom Barnett. He's not here live. This is not a podcast episode, but rather his speech from Confluence 2025. And I do not mean this in an exaggerated way. I genuinely mean it. This is one of the best speeches, presentations I've ever seen on any topic, period. I texted that to Tom. I said that to the people that I was sitting next to at Confluence. It was incredible, and it is directly applicable to anyone's life right now. And this talk is titled Natural Law, Everything is an Offer. Cannot recommend checking Tom's work out enough. Like, I don't know if I said that correctly. I highly recommend checking out Tom's work and his offerings, which will be in the show notes. Again, what he speaks about with respect to natural law. First off, he takes natural law, which can sometimes be a very abstract topic where you're trying to figure out how it applies to your life. And he makes it directly applicable to your life in the way that he speaks about it. And he just exudes wisdom and experience, most importantly, direct experience with what he's talking about. So all of his offerings will be in the show notes. Additionally, this is a little taste of a past edition of Confluence. And if you're considering coming to Confluence, if you're on the fence about it, if you're wanting to come, I highly recommend jumping on tickets ASAP. They're selling really fast. And again, that's not an exaggeration either. It was really cool this year. We sold 60% of all available tickets, despite increasing the amount of tickets we offered to by 250 before we even announced the speaker. So I think we've done such a good job of creating an amazing event. Our team, myself, Molly Englehart, Mike and Lindsay Holshue, and the rest of our team at the Way Forward, and all the staff and volunteers for Confluence, and all the people that come. We've really done such a good job of creating just an incredible experience for people. And that's why we had so many people purchase tickets without even knowing who the speaker was. So at the point of this recording, we're actually, I think we've sold 75% of our available tickets. So they're definitely going fast. By the time this comes out, it'll probably be closer to 85, 90%. So if you're considering coming, highly recommend getting on your tickets as soon as possible. And again, for the lodging, all of that's available on the ticketing website as well. We have glamping options, camping options. There's hotels nearby if you want to stay at a hotel and you're not ready to glamp or camp. And then the third thing I'd like to share, all of this is in the show notes, by the way. If you enjoy this talk from Tom, or if you want a little window into what Confluence is like, just after this clip plays, I'm going to play our after movie from Confluence last year. And then also, if you want to view any of the other talks from Confluence, whether it's last year's talks or the two editions previous to that, all of that is on the Way Forward membership platform available for Platinum members. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get into the episode with Tom Barnett. I hope you enjoy it. I know that you will enjoy it. So without further ado, here is Natural Law, Everything is an Offer from Tom Barnett.
To be here, to be associated with this, to be in community with these people, is a recognition, a celebration of that journey. You see the light in their eyes, the depth to them. For many of them, journeys they've been through to get where they are in this point in life. This feels like a remembrance. Feels like we're remembering what it means to be us, like to be human. It's a gift.
It's really hard to put into words how I feel when I'm here. It's like a village. We just create this little town that exists for 5 days in the middle of Bandera, Texas. And, you know, we eat together, we laugh together, we sing together, we play together, we learn together. And it's like this is community. This is what it's all about. And so when we can stay in this little space and see the potential, it's magic. It's just magic.
If you come to my restaurant here on Sovereignty Ridge, you have driven through the hill country, you've driven down, you drive onto this beautiful property, you drive past the greenhouses, you see cows grazing on the land, you can see clearly where they were yesterday, where they're going tomorrow. You can see it all laid out. And so when you eat that patty melt with that sourdough bread, you get the purpose behind it. And then you feel how that feels in your body. And I'm hoping that that level of coherency is the ripple effect that they go back to Houston or to Dallas or to Los Angeles or to wherever and say, you know what? I want that level of coherency in my life.
This land is special. I feel more like me, therefore I feel more like home. So Confluence, I feel like home.
Confluence is a space where people can come to redefine what freedom means to them. The freedom to let go of preconceived notions about how the world works and who you need to be and how we need to interact with each other and really open ourselves up to what it can be and what's possible. We're going to set the dates and the community is really going to drive what this human experience is meant to be.
Thank you, everyone. Okay, first of all, before we start, thank you for having us. We've come a long way. There's a few other Australians in the contingent, and it's a blessing and an honor to be here. Who's heard me speak before, just so I have an idea? Okay, who was at Anakapupo, just so I have an idea? You? Good, I guess. There's a few similar concepts that wind their way through a lot of what I speak about, but what we'll see is that there's a few ways that are key to keep revisiting so that we could embody a more powerful state of being. So, it's okay with you. My talks are a bit interactive and a bit lighthearted. So please feel free if I'm asking questions, you're welcome to put your hand up. You're welcome to just throw something out. It does help everybody learn as part of the equation. So today's talk is called The Offer. You sort of heard me talk about offers before. Okay, why do we talk about offers? Why is that important? Everything's like, oh, well, we're going to explore that today. It's a very, very fundamental part of commerce. Who's familiar with commerce? I've had a lot of questions since my wife Summer and I have been here, and a lot of people have asked about, you know, are we going in and out of the countries with our passports? Have we corrected our status? Are we discharging debts and so on and so forth? And all that's really exciting as you come into this world of learning about laws and commerce and how we actually have rights that are inalienable. And why we're actually born here now to be part of this experience and to live it in a powerful way. But there's a lot more to it, because unless you really get why that is the case, unless you really get to know who you are, there is only a limited amount of success in my experience that you can have with all of that until you get to know yourself to a degree that you embody those principles. Or those practices, or those processes, or those notices, or those words that you speak that you believe hold great power and value and give you your standing in life. Does that make sense? So today's talk is called The Offer. The grand offer is to keep us indebted. The offers are to keep us in fear, to keep us oblivious. How many people do you know that are oblivious? That's why a lot of people are here now, today, amongst a group of people that feel like kindred spirits. But a lot of the offers are just out there to keep people oblivious. They're not actually to cause direct harm. But harm comes through oblivion, as we'll see as we go throughout the presentation. Non-creative. If we're meant to be created in the image of our creator, would we not be creator beings? As a default agreement or a default mechanism. So a lot of the offers are designed to keep people out of their creativity, because that's one of the big solutions to a lot of the issues that people see facing them in the world. But because it's a very subtle and magical game, a lot of the time, the offers are to get us to create not in our image, to create in the image of deception. So we might feel we're being creative, but if we're creating in the image of deception, do you feel that we'll get where we believe in our heart of hearts that we're meant to be? But again, it's just an offer. So this is the grand offer. So as we move through dealing with offers, we can handle an offer directly, and that's where a lot of people are. That's why people want to know so much about processes and discharging and what words to say, what words to avoid. It's handling an offer head on, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. There's actually great virtue in directly handling an obstacle, because
while the next step is to just sidestep, there's a little bit of bypassing that can come in if we just decide we'll bypass every offer, because then where's the growth? How do we know who we are unless we stand right in front of an offer that's presented to us and to test ourselves? If we don't do that, we may never know. We could spend all of our time bypassing. Sidestepping and bypassing aren't the same thing. It depends on how you approach it. But the first way we handle an offer is to essentially deal with it head on. There's great value in that. Sidestepping is another way to handle an offer. I mean, if you're going to hurl something at me right now, rather than stand in front of it and tell you I don't want it, I don't consent to it, I hate you, I'm angry, you don't control me, I could just do this, right? Isn't that a little bit more intelligent? And then the next part is to create a new offer. Who's had the experience of creating an offer, Obero? We're going to get into what this all means as we progress throughout the presentation, but as I ask these questions, you don't have, they're kind of rhetorical questions, just ask it to yourself, have a feel into yourself. Are you creating offers of your own? Because it's really, really important. If you receive a message from life itself and it just said to you, hey, buddy, you're really cool. I really like you. And that's why I put you here. And you're here for a reason. You have purpose, value, meaning, reason. Everything's perfect. And the other part of being here is that everything is an offer. And when I say everything, I mean everything is an offer. Now, if that's presented to you and you receive that, how do you feel? Does that make you fearful? Do you now have to take some responsibility and you wonder what to do with that? Does that fill you with excitement? Does that fill you with apathy? You're kind of like, oh, now I have to figure stuff out. Or does it make you feel like Neo in the Matrix, where you actually have some kind of magic you're tapping into? Because now, instead of feeling like the world is upon you and you are a subject, which we're going to get into, you're now co-creating with the story of life. And you feel like you're tapping into some of your innate God-given potential. Because a lot of the time, especially when people are oblivious, they're not really tapping into that. But if everything is an offer, it means we can either accept that to form an agreement. We can not accept that to form an agreement. We can remain silent on that to form an agreement. But either way, whatever it is that we choose, an agreement is formed by way of the offer. So throughout today's talk, we'll be exploring why everything is an offer. So today's talk is about natural law. Who's familiar with natural law? Cool. Now, I've heard about 50 different definitions of what natural law is. So what you believe natural law to be will be a construct of the mind, because based on how you would receive the offer that everything is an offer, as in absolutely everything, a parking fine here, the government telling you you cannot cross the border, or they're going to take half of your earnings, or that you can't conduct commerce as a grown adult with your neighbor or your brother. That's an offer. But what about something like, a headache? What about stage 4 cancer? What about something like that? Like some of you just yelled out, it's an offer. Okay, but where are you on that spectrum? Because most people have a ceiling as to where the offer sits. You can, as a construct of the mind, you can see it insofar as a parking fine or a commercial offer, but can you see it as something that you've offered to yourself? Because as a construct of the mind that creates this idea of what it is, does your mind go to the government? Does your mind go to commercial offers? Or does your mind go to those parts of you that offer something to you every moment of every day? And that's your perception. How do I see this? How do I relate to people? Do I see enemies outside of myself? Or what about that little voice that just says, no, I don't think you're good enough. I don't think you're worthy of that. So we should accept this, but not that, because we're not worthy of that. Here's why it goes there. Because most of this is in the inner. It sits firmly within us. We are giving ourselves offers all the time, but they're not actually us. Well, at the end of today's talk, we'll have a look at where these come from, but these are programs, beliefs, illusions, egregores, entities, spells. They sit within us. Now, some of them are put there because we accepted offers in other ways, which we'll get into. And some of them are created through us, through our experiences in life. And we form agreements based on the offers that we've already come to. So it's very, very empowering, but it can be a little bit like, oh no, what do I do with that? Now, natural law governs the natural laws. The natural laws govern what we perceive to be laws in the world. So these are commercial laws. This is common law, tort law, equity law, trust law. And then this makes its way into things like the courts, where acts regulate statutes. And what's a statute? What's in a statute? Or what do acts regulate? Anyone know what acts regulate? The definition of an act is that an act regulates a corporation. So then why do acts regulate people? Like, why would a biosecurity act or a enemy of the state act, why would that affect you?
Men and women here.
Well, the answer is that it doesn't, but it does. Because there is an offer, which we'll explore. There is an agreement that is formed and that we act in the capacity of that particular subject. And that's how living men and women that are here now can be regulated by acts, because we become corporations. Now, a lot of us have this idea that we were forced into this because there's the birth certificate fraud, there's the trust, there's all kinds of selling out along the way. But at the end of the day, if we can come from the construct that's an offer, we have separation from the offer and we can find our way out of the offer rather than trying to go directly into it, which you can do. I just, believe me, it takes a lot of energy, effort, time, and at the end of the day, it might not be worth it, because there are far easier ways to deal with things.
If you frequently tune into the Way Forward podcast, don't skip this one. This is personal. If you've ever felt a shift from something that you've heard on this podcast, if it's helped you to see things more clearly, if it's helped you to break down a limiting belief system, if it's helped you just to generally question, or if it's helped you to feel less alone, then I'm asking you from my heart to help us keep going. We're not backed by corporate sponsors, venture capital money, or big donors, and that has been a deliberate choice. And we've said no to a lot of ad deals that weren't aligned because we don't want our mission to be shaped by products, brands, and agendas that we don't actually believe in. There are a few trusted brands and products that do support us, and we're incredibly grateful for that. But the reality is, this is primarily sustained by our listeners and viewers. Right now, this podcast has roughly 140,000 video and audio downloads a month, and it's continuing to grow. And only a small fraction of that actually help contribute financially. That's not a guilt trip, it's just the reality. We haven't said this directly enough, so here it is. If you'd like this podcast to continue, please help support us by becoming a member of thewayforward.com. If even a small fraction of listeners and viewers chose to support, we'd be able to easily sustain this. A membership at thewayforward.com is $99 annually, which amounts to about $8 a month. Think of it like a couple organic kombuchas at your local health food store, or maybe a fancy latte every month. And also think of it like this: in addition to ensuring that we can continue, you're actively supporting yourself in the process. Thewayforward.com is a private membership platform that allows you to instantly connect with aligned people, practitioners, farms, schools, restaurants, and more in your local area. And if the platform isn't for you, we've added a donation option as well. You'll find both of those in the show notes. If you've received something from the show, please consider giving back by becoming a member so we can continue to reach people, not just as a podcast, but as a movement for something good, true, and beautiful. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for walking this path with us.
Now, there's a couple of lines here. The first is that natural law, law, L-O-R-E, is story, and the story regulates the laws which are cause and effect. We'll explore this shortly. Now, underneath this first line, we have commerce, trust, common law, and tort law, equity. There's many others, but generally speaking, those pertain to living men and women. That pertains to actual harm or loss caused to a living being. But below that line, statutes, acts, codes, orders, and mandates, which you're probably now familiar with. If you weren't familiar before 2020, you're probably familiar with some of those words now. Those regulate the non-living. So by way of an offer and then an acceptance or a blanket refusal, we end up agreeing one way or another, and then we end up being regulated by these things down here. So we have all the wealth in the world inside of us. There's a lot of talk about offers of changing the financial system, changing interest rates, changing how we do things like digital currencies, digital IDs. Now, all of these are offers, because what it does, the main offer isn't necessarily to get you to sign up to a digital ID. The main offer is to get you to jump outside of yourself to fight something that's not real, to fight an enemy that's not actually outside of you, which comes from not really knowing who we are. So by way of the offer, we form that agreement. But what happens as a result is we give away where the real and true currency is. We have gold, literal gold, monoatomic gold inside of us. That's where, has anyone heard of Lushing? Okay, this is the right audience to talk to, cool. So Lushing is an act of extracting the energy from us. The prime creative force on earth, the prime value on earth. That lush is our currency. It's actually in the form of monatomic gold. It shows up in our plasma, but this is the currency that we have, and we actually give it away. Anytime we come out of ourselves to fight an imaginary, illusory enemy outside of us, that's by way of the op. We have all the value, all of the actual true currency in the world resides in us. Now, if we choose to keep it and then invest it and grow it, that's our choice. Because it's not, we can't give it away though, which happens a lot. I call natural law the great leveler. Why would I call it that? Why would I call, it's just my opinion, by the way, but I call natural law the great leveler. Why would I call it that? Yes, it's universal. Exactly. And by way of being universal, we are all equal before and under the law. That's actually a maxim of law. It shows up in commerce, but it comes from the natural laws, which we're about to explore. Also, a workman is worthy of his hire. Have you ever had the feeling that if the government or anybody just trying to tell you what to do is using all valuable time and energy, if you have the prime currency in the world, if all of the wealth is stored in us, have you ever had that feeling that, like, if you're going to annoy me and try to ask me to do something I don't need to do, shouldn't you pay me for it? If a workman is worthy, why would you not get paid for that? And if you acted in that capacity, do you think you would get less offers of a nefarious kind?
Yeah.
In my experience, you get a lot less. Once you start acting in that capacity, as if we are all equal before and under the law, you get a lot less offers from the public. Not from life itself, not from the real version, but from the public system. And also, if you know in your heart of hearts that you're worthy of your hire, you will act in that capacity. You will be seen as such. We're going to talk about the fog and dreaming shortly, but believe me, you will be seen as such. So has anybody here had success extracting currency from those that give nefarious offers, be it a government agency, a state agency, anything like that? Nope. I've had quite a number of them. And the reason is that I believe in my heart of hearts that I'm valuable enough and I'm worthy of that. Now, the way I did that was not to charge $85 billion for an hour of my time, because I know in my heart of hearts I'm not worth that. But when I started billing people for what I know that I'm worth, I got paid. Not because of the notices that I wrote, the words. It wasn't the words. It wasn't who I addressed it to, how I addressed it, how I signed it, what color pen I used. That had literally nothing to do with it. It was because I was the notice. And I believed it. I became it. And it, as a transmitting utility, took my essence into the world and returned it to me. Because we're all equal before and under the law, if you can be extracted from, can't you also extract? Now, of course, with great power comes great responsibility. And if you start deciding that you will go into it with self-enrichment or causing harm to others, you will not go so well. But if you come with morality and honor and just wanting to set things right, well, that's how you'll get results in the world. And you start to feel a massive power shift. So between 2020 and 2023, of all when things were quite light, who felt in some way disempowered or that there was a lot of oppression on your personal self? It's okay, put your hand up, by the way. It's pretty much most people. Now, we were all at different stages of our journey and of our law, our L-O-R-E, our story. In 2020, I believe, was one of the biggest blessings ever because it got a lot of people to become more aware of their law, of their story, right? So who believes they're becoming more the main character in their own law? Awesome. Because prior to that, and you'll see it out there in the world, you'll see people programmed to do exactly what they're told to do, right? Do you think that they have a law at their end? I don't believe they do. And because of that, because it's only an offer, if they don't act in the capacity of a character who has their own law, doesn't it make sense that they will just do what they're taught? But if they're told they have to pay something, they will. If they're told they can't go somewhere, they won't, because it's not their law. Okay, but because we're all equal before and under the law, we each have the same ability to weave our own law through the story of lives. This is the main part, the essence of the hero's journey. If someone else can do it, why can't we? If Hollywood invests that much into weaving lore and story and spells, why can't we? But obviously the answer is that we can. So to the degree to which you embody that is the degree to which you will experience a far different world around you, along with far greater gifts, much more beauty, much more fairness, and a greater capacity for love and living life, which I believe is why almost everybody is here. So the question becomes, if we have people ability to weave that story through life, the question then becomes, how strong is your law? Because if you're an extra in somebody else's gang, in the world of quote-unquote laws and commerce, that would make you a debtor. A debtor answers questions and follows directions, whether they are verbal or non-verbal. Acting in the capacity of makes you a debtor. Or are you becoming the main character in your law? And that would make you, in the world of laws, a creditor. one who asks questions and gives directions. Now, at this stage, I'll also ask you, if that feels good to you, what is your construct of the mind of asking questions and giving directions? Who are you giving those to? Oh, cool. Someone said yourself. That's where I would invite a lot of this to be directed first and foremost. Before you want to master that world, I suggest, just based on my experience in dealing with a lot of people over the last 10 years or so, if you can direct that towards yourself first and foremost, you will have a far greater and far speedier result in the world of becoming a master of both things. If you primarily focus on something outside of you because you still see enemies outside, I'll say you won't get results because you will. But the degree to which that result holds in real time as a real tangible event in the world is something that I can tell you that. So in a world of victims, me too's, of participation awards, life will say who dares wins. Life says if you're willing to get up and work for it, you can have it. And the early bird gets the worm. So what happens is we're given all these inversions and all these kinds of spells and illusions to make ourselves feel like something's happening while nothing's happening. That's one of the biggest offers, the grand illusion to keep us indebted. It's to keep us at the end of the day from remembering who we are. I really enjoyed the last talk as well, because that essence of remembering who we are is the fundamental. And same with Alex Sturt that you just had. That whole thing, like that message, if you want to boil it down to remember who we are, that's the grand offer, is to keep us from doing that. And there will be distractions and illusions and fear and spells and everything thrown at you to prevent you remembering. But at the end of the day, that is the grand offer, because you don't have to accept it. And here's the thing, here's the kicker with all of this, is that under natural law, and it makes its way into the laws that are in statutes, acts, and codes, is that within the offer must also be the remedy. That's how it makes it equitable. That's how it can be in this realm without fizzling out or grand destruction happening to it. So there to be, and also there must also be within it the remedy. Can anyone think of what that might be for them? Any experience you've had where you've received an offer, but there's also a remedy within? Yep, exactly. There's a lot, even when so far as being billed for something, there's a remedy within the bill. You can use it to discharge debt. That's another subject, but that's just something I know from my discussions with a few people here over the last few days that you're familiar with. But at the end of the day, there is another level of gain, and that is just to be it. Because a lot of people, and I was like the worst at this, is why I had 20 years of chronic fatigue syndrome, so to speak. Like, it's very real. Like, it hurts a lot and you're real tired, but it's not a real thing. It's a construct. And the reason I know that is because I was in it really hard and then I was out of it. Without changing diet, without changing hydration, sleeping patterns, breathing exercises, without taking up a new religion, becoming uber spiritual. No change in anything except for coming out of the offer. Because I came into who I was, I started to be that instead. The reason it's so powerful is that we can create games all together. As I said before, we're all equal. We're all worthy of our higher. And we can create an entirely new construct from an entirely new game. But it takes a willingness. It takes a willingness to do this. So I know from my discussion and seeing some of the other talks, a lot of people are familiar with things like forms to, let's say, correct the status or a notice or to discharge a debt. But it's more than how you write it. It's more than what's on the paper. It's more who you are, which frames everything. So like I mentioned before, a word or the birth certificate or a notice or a piece of paper is a transmitting utility. What's a transmitting utility? To clues in the words, kind of self-explanatory. It's a utility that transmits, but what does it transmit? And yeah, exactly. Energy, I had a few, whatever you put into it.
Value,
yes. Most of your answers are going to be correct, by the way. There's not really a wrong answer to that, but it's a transmitting utility. So when you see things for what they are, you learn to embody things a different way. So if you put hope into a transmitting utility, you put anger, like, you're not going to do this to me, or you just kind of throwing it out there, like, if I send them this, they'll get off my back. That's hope. That's what's being transmitted into the utility. It's not the words. It's not like the physical structure of the words. That's what's actually in the transmitting utility. So that's what will come back. The really, really fundamental important concept here at the office is that if we don't realize this, we set a lot of default agreements against ourselves. So from an offer, we form a grievance. But what's not said actually speaks more, probably the struggle, but it forms a default agreement. When we're not aware of exactly what we're doing, we actually leave a whole lot open. Now, there are actually natural laws that protect us from this as well. I don't know what the real one is. It's probably in the Bible or other spiritual books. But I just say, I guess I say that life forgives innocence, but it does not forgive ignorance. So there's a maxim of law that says ignorance is no excuse of the law. I don't know what would tell the first one. Probably Cal Washington would know something that would speak to that from just a spiritual perspective. But if you're not really aware yet, like a child, life will forgive innocence. It'll give you a few chances, right? You better have beginner's luck as well. So usually when we embark on something of a hero's journey and it's part of our innate law, life will show up to actually help us on that journey. You're like, wow, I just tried this thing and it really worked. Without having the skills, the knowledge, the requisite requirements to actually make that work, it just works because life is there for us. But once we become aware and we might not be like, you know, in full alignment and we don't change as a result, life does not forgive ignorance. It really punishes it hard. That makes sense? Okay. So on our journey, it's important to remember what we are transmitting. If we're aware of transmitting utilities, just become aware of what it is that we are transmitting. Because we can do it with great power, but we can also do it with great discipline. So default agreements is what we are saying by what we're not saying. This also pertains to acquiescence by silence because we just don't say anything at all. So what is the default agreement of noticing the government and that we want to change its status or correct something or we want to be free? What's the default agreement? What are we really saying? Without saying, we're saying, I want to be free, get off of my back, and I want to change my status or whatever it is. What do we say? Yeah, we're saying we're a slave. We're saying we're not free. And so what happens is, for example, I'm speaking to you now, and my words carry to the back of this arena and maybe a bit out into the field. But that's my words. That's what I'm speaking. That's what's being carried in an auditory form. But where it's coming from is who I am, which nonstop vibrates at a specific frequency, and that is felt by the entire realm. It travels far and wide. It's far more than my voice can carry. So I might stand here going, the government sucks. We got to take it down. We got to change this. We got to do whatever in the world of doing. That's why I had chronic fatigue. Once I started getting into the world of being, my energy came back. And lo and behold, I started having much more results in the actual world around me. Influence in the world is in changing things for, but it's just, who can say better or worse, but for the purpose of the story, changing things for the better. Because it came from being rather than doing, and doing was really draining me. So the energy behind your words fills the entire realm. And what's more important is that it is witnessed. It's noticed. Very key word. It's noticed by life itself. Now, the word element, have you heard me break that down? Have you broken that down, Bolser? Ele, E-L-E, is the prefix, which means of his or her mind, or of his or her, and meant being mind. So the elements that we see is outside of ourselves, they're all actually within us. You're probably familiar if you've heard Jared's talks or anyone else's talks on water that it holds memory. So everything that we are, or to put it another way, have you heard that we don't get what we want, we get what we are, or we attract what we are? Similar principle. Okay, so if life notices us, this is in more of a Mill-Sloan perspective. If life notices us, it's putting us on notice. If we don't notice what's in us that is sabotaging ourselves or sending all this aggression into the world that is going in completely the wrong direction at the wrong thing, at an illusory mirror image enemy, it's only going to come back to us in that way, shape, or form. And it can be very draining as a result. And I know that well because I had 20 years of deep. Okay, so if you become the notice, so I just put notice here because of noticing what we're doing or God noticing us, but this could pertain to absolutely anything, a word, anything at all, any kind of transmitting utility. So it kind of represents you. The word represent is to represent. I'm here presenting to you now. If I were to have somebody else do it for me, that would represent me. Or if I was not really being myself, I would be representing myself. But a form can represent you. Now, you've probably heard, and when I say this, please understand that it doesn't mean that there's no value in this because there is a lot of value. Because I know a lot of people run courses on things like syntax and grammar. Like, you've got to put the words in this order because it changes this. And you got to put a light code here and you got to use a red pen or a blue pen or whatever. And there's truth in it. But what I would like to portray to you is that under the natural laws, the governing laws, it actually doesn't matter. Because I've written stuff on a napkin in gobbledygook pretty much, but the message is really clear. It has my intention purely in it. It's not someone else's words, it's mine. And because I know who I am in that capacity, never fully, like who knows who they are really, but in that capacity, relative to that offer, I know who I am. You'll feel that? Relative to the offer, you can absolutely know who you are. In relation to life and God and everything else, like, I don't know, that's a, who knows? But in relation to the offer, if you know who you are and you be that, it doesn't matter about the other stuff. Because I've come across people who have lectured for 20 or 30 years on syntax and grammar and the type of this, and you do it this way, you send it that way. And I'm like, I did this for 6 months and was pulling money out of the government. I did this for 6 months and assumed police. I got money out of high-level corporations that their first response is always, why are you giving us that? We don't pay you. We don't do that. We don't even accept that. But because I knew who I was in relation to the offer, I got the result. Irrespective of the color of pen or the sentence structure of the wording and whatever. And these other people that were teaching this for a long time didn't have anything to show for it. So that's when I was really becoming aware of the whole natural law, like the law, the story. How was my story being weaved through that? Or was it somebody else's story? So that's the game we're all in. And because we're all equal in this game, it's very, very fair and very equitable. And that's how we end up with rules of equity and rules of common law and rules of commerce.
Quick shout out to Podigy, the team that we brought on to produce our podcast. We started working with them last year and the difference was immediate. Way less stress on the back end for us with podcast production, and our YouTube has grown significantly since bringing on Podigy. If you're already running a podcast and looking to boost your production value, or if you're thinking about starting a podcast, I highly recommend working with Podigy. If you check the show notes, there's an assessment that Podigy has put together to give you specific steps to take to grow your own podcast. And that's whether you're just getting started or looking to take your current podcast to the next level. Each month, they're giving away a strategy call with their founder, Justin Moore, and he is incredibly talented and incredibly smart. And he really knows how to grow a podcast from the ground up. So if you're interested in working with Podigy, just head to the show notes and take the assessment. And if you decide to work with them, just mention Alex Zek in the Way Forward and they'll give you a nice little deal.
Okay, so what's really important about the offer is that it creates separation. If you were to receive on the news today or there's something you're currently dealing with that you see as you are absolutely entwined with, and in the legal terms, we call that joiner, when joined with that issue, how do you feel? You feel heavy, right? It's oppressive. It's on you. It's in you. It's around you. There's no escaping it. It's like, I am the problem. Have you ever woken up or spoken to a friend and you say, I feel sad today, or I am sad? Doesn't matter if you have, by the way. This isn't a trick question. It's just that in other cultures, like Gaelic culture, they say sadness is upon me. They don't say I am sad because they're identifying, they're creating joinder with the feeling or the emotion, but you're not that feeling or emotion, are you? You're not your birth certificate. You're not your driver license. You're not your passport. You're not any of that. So why would you also be the sadness? Why would you also be the heaviness? But it's okay to be real with where you're at and not just avoid it, bypass it, and use terminology like sadness is upon me. That's a great gift. But I am sad. That's in your correct state. So when we see things as an offer, like sadness as an offer too, what is this here to teach me? I must be meeting a teacher of some kind. So what is it here to teach me? And it's just an offer. I can handle this in the agreement, and then the end result that occurs is up to me. So doesn't that create a form of separation? Don't you feel a little bit more at ease if you receive something in the mail and it's from the state and you know that it's an offer? Doesn't that just create a degree of separation, at least one degree? Does that allow you to handle it better and more professional? It definitely does. And when we see it this way, we realize that the offer also creates a gate. This is where things start to get quite exciting. Because if you feel like you are becoming a character in the law, your own story in life and your own hero's journey, it means that you can start handling games as a game, which means it can be quite fun. Now, a lot of times you'll hear words like jurisdiction. Juris just means of law or of right, and diction is a speaking or writing style. That's got a lot to do with story, right? Got a lot to do with law. Now, a lot of people are aware of things like allodial title and different forms of jurisdiction, but if we can see ourselves in this capacity and we have jurisdiction of the space within us and the space at least this far outside of us, how does that make you feel? In a world of all these nefarious offers that are thrown at us constantly, and it's non-stop every day if you pay any attention to the world, it's always there and it always feels like it's upon you, because it's almost like no matter how much work you do, no matter how many results you get, you turn around the next corner and there's another one. and there's another one, and there's more of them, and they're piling up. Now, if you don't have any degree of separation, any space around you, that's going to weigh you down. That will wear down your energetic field. But it doesn't have to, because it is just an offer. So if we have jurisdiction of us, we will think like that. We will act in that capacity, and we will be that jurisdiction. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't get offers. It just means we'll handle them much more effectively. That make sense? Okay. So in the beginning stages, generally speaking, we are within the game. We realize we've woken up to the deception, the offers, the illusions, the nefarious tactics that are out there. Some call it the devil or the great deception, but we become aware of it. Prior to that, we're not really even aware of it. We're just living in a like an oblivion, like a dream world. So then we wake up and we're within the game. Now, that's cool because there's tools, but the nature of the game is that the tools have to be there. You just don't have to be told where they are or how to use them, but they are there. So from within the game, you can actually step outside of the game. What's a quick example of stepping outside of the game? Meditating. Yeah, absolutely. You absolutely come outside of the game in that respect. Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean that you become completely outside of the game, but what it makes you realize is that there's more. There's more than that. So you start acting at a different capacity. Capacity is interesting. I'm just giving you a lot of foreshadowing. I'm going to wrap it all up at the end, but we act at a different capacity. Now, beyond that, as we begin to empower ourselves more and more, we can create new gates. Be familiar with the expression, which is actually maximum law, what you create, you own. You heard that? All right. So who created here the banking system? It's waiting to meet that guy one day. At least not here. Okay. He created the roads. He created the internet. He created the schooling system, medical system, drugs, pharmaceuticals. No one. Okay. So if we didn't create it, we don't own it. So there's only a certain amount of like pissing and moaning that is going to create a real estate, because whatever you put into that system, if you didn't create it, you don't own it. You don't get the return of the currency that you put into that. Remember I said earlier, the greatest currency on earth is within us. If we keep giving that away, we're actually giving it into the system that we hate. That's the nature of protesting. Doesn't mean, again, it doesn't mean it has no value. It just means that when you can start to become aware of the bigger laws, the natural laws that govern all of this, you can be more effective within any of that, including protesting, including discharging debt, including writing notices, including holding people accountable in that way. But you can just have more effect because you are more of an effect. Does that make sense? Like, you are the effect. It's not the external transmitting utility. It's you. So when you remember that and you come into that, there's not much that'll stop you. And anything that tries to stop you is just an offer. But that's creating a new game, but it's kind of will happen in stages, right? You got to be aware first. You got to work on a few things and, hey, have a few experiences that teaches you what it's like to give that away. So you're like, you know what? That's not going to happen again. Because that's the teacher. And when you create a new game, currency will go to your game. Okay? So if you're creating the game, if you create the offers, the currency that is related to that offer goes to you. It's the nature of things like mind viruses and egregores. They're actually massive stocking facilities that take currency. It's never about like fiat currency and money and that works there. That's the end over that hill over there result of like where this actually comes from. Like what's actually the main currency. It's like just a, it's just a far extension of. Now, it doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. It does matter a lot, but just knowing that it's not the main thing can help a lot. So what is your offer? And if you don't have that, what is your counter offer? And what is your agenda? If you don't have an agenda 25 or an agenda 2030 or a lot of things that people are focused on trying to prevent, that's not your creation. How much effect are you having in the world on a real tangible level? How much are you really benefiting yourself and your family if you are so fixated on a creation that is not yours? You are actually, in my experience, giving it a lot of currency, okay, supporting it. You don't have to do that. It's an offer. But the main offer is what's yours. If you don't have one, if you don't become a character in your own game, you are most likely, as a default mechanism, going to be a character in, or an extra, which is like, if you don't want to stand somewhere for 5 hours holding a boom mic, that's kind of too bad because you're the extra or you're the gas cut. Now, that actually has great value because I've done that as a job. I'm not putting that down. But at the same time, if you want to become an extra or a main character in your own play, your own game, that's up to you. But that takes a lot. So what that takes is being willing to undergo the hero's journey and willing to master two worlds. Are you familiar with the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell's model? the construct. It's a great model. It's the master of two worlds. So once you've gone on the hero's journey, you've essentially gone through this grand, like, growth journey that's full of riches and gifts. They're not necessarily in gold or money, but they're internal. And the beauty of that is that can never be taken from you. You can only forget and give it away. But we do these every day. And in the world of, you're probably familiar with, like, the law and the legal world, and lawful and legal and private and public, they're mirror images of one another. And the analogy I always like to give is that of the mirror. And if I'm standing in front of a mirror now and I wave in it, I'll see myself waving back, won't I? But if I make the mistake of looking in the mirror and saying, that's me, I've created joined into that which is not me. Now, it's only an offer, it's just an illusion, but I make it real. Until that, there's no second witness, there's no agreement. It's not truth yet. But it is if I make the mistake, fall into the illusion, and I join with that. Does that make sense? So the reflection in the mirror, does that have life in it? Please give me the right answer.
No.
Does it have blood circulating through its veins? Does it have veins? But it's real, isn't it? So when we say things aren't real that are in the fiction or in the public, that's not technically true, is it? Because it is real. It's a real reflection. Okay, so the subtleties to all of this and being able to discern and navigate your way through the world through your hero's journey is very, very important, because we will come across many characters and many illusions that appear that they're here to help us or appear that they're there to take from us. But when we succumb to the offer and either accept and give things away or accept and be taken from, they're not really the enemy or the ally that show up in that hero's journey in the law. But as you start to, again, become more powerful, you go through enough of them, you start to be able to write that story, that law, and it becomes much more engaging. So we generally talk about public and private in terms of there's money and then there's legal tender, or there's like men and women and then there are persons. People, persons. Are you all familiar with those terms? Just so I know who I'm talking to in general. Yeah? Okay, cool. So in this respect, mastering two worlds, we have public and private. We have form and substance. We have entities and living, illusion and real. The world, which most people are fixated on fixing, but then we have the inner. We have identity, which is opposing or the mirror image of life. And we have deception, and that's like the opposing image of God or life or creation. So the reason this is important is because I hear so many people say, we've just got to get out of the system. We're going to throw in our birth certificate, wash that one down the toilet. Then we're going to have to burn this over here. And then we're only going to operate privately through a PMA, behind a trust, behind like a steel wall, under a Faraday cage, under an EMF hat. And you have to leave your phones at the entrance to the property. No one's coming in with a phone. It's kind of funny, but that's like the last 5 years for a lot of the circles that I've been in. And it's always just been like, but guys, I think you're missing a trick. Because what happens as a result of living like that is what? What happens to your being? Does it expand or constrict? It constricts. So if you have all of the value, all of the wealth, all of the currency in the world inside of you, what are you doing with it if you want to regress into a form of entropy and regression throughout your entire life? What's going to happen? That element of you that is God, that is your gift, your unique gift to give to life, is going to be given to five hateful truthers in the back of a Faraday van. Do you really feel like that's giving your service to life? I don't know the answer to that. It might be, but I'm just saying. So for example, like, I was one of those people that grew up kind of like figuring things out relatively early. And it's why I was so angry. It's why I burned myself out. Had all these issues with my parents, my family, my school, my neighborhood, my society, everything. I was like the angriest guy in the world by like age 19. And I wanted to burn the whole thing down. I did not want to be any part of society because I didn't fit, but I didn't really know myself. So I couldn't explain it. I couldn't figure it out. I just knew I was angry. I knew there was something wrong with this. This doesn't add up. So I burnt myself out. So what service did I give to myself or the world as a result of knowing, quote unquote, what's wrong with it?
Just kind of nothing, right?
Like, the results speak for themselves. You'll be known by your fruits, right? My fruit was rotten and it's just
bad.
And so at the end of the day, I've had this discussion with a lot of people. A lot of people are realizing now that it's actually more important to master both worlds. The public system is there for a reason. And there's actually, when you learn how to use it, there's a lot of good in it. But as you become awake, you start to fit that it's what's wrong with the world, but that's an illusion. I'm not saying it's good either. I'm not saying we shouldn't do things privately. I'm not saying anything like that. But what I'm suggesting is, as you get to know who you are first and foremost, you will learn how to utilize all the gifts that are in both worlds. When you can master both worlds, you very strategy about yours. You get their business publicly and privately, and you will reach as a result all people who are still God's children. Even if they got jabbed, even if whatever, even if they believe something different to you that are still not your enemy, well, what world are we going to live in? We all live under a Faraday cage and everyone else is out there. And then there's a storm or something and we need our neighbors like help to just, I don't know, like something, a glass of water. But what world are we going to live in that? I'm also not suggesting that you accept a dominant narrative that is inferior to yours. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm just suggesting know who you are. And if you are willing to master both worlds on your hero's journey, in my experience so far at this stage of life, it'll be a lot more fruitful. Okay, pop quiz for everybody, just to lighten the mood. You're probably aware that you can write your name about 16 or 17 different ways. They all mean something different. So if you were to write your name a title case, capital B, capital S, all lowercase, if your name is Bob Smith, that is, or Bob colon Smith, or all caps, Bob Smith. Yeah, if you're at Anacapulco, don't give the answer away. But which one of these are you? Oh, damn, everyone is super smart. That's it. Which one of those names are you? None. You're none of those. Now, writing your name in a specific way does denote a certain standing in a certain construct, but that's all it is. If you believe you're a Aang and you're like, I'm this, I write my name as this because that's what I am, fundamental error. You're not an Aang. A Aang is an entity. A name is a fixed answer to a Aang. It's handy to have, so it's not just or you over there or whatever. And it does carry meaning of its own, but you're not your name. You represent the name or the name represents you. There's a lot of different ways you can look at it, but when you create separation from that, you are a lot more free already. Because you're not buying into illusions.
I don't know about y'all, but I love bread. But basically, anytime I eat bread, I feel bloated, sluggish, and off. Even if it's organic, it's how modern wheat is grown and processed. Most commercial flour these days is roller milled, which strips away the bran and the germ to extend shelf life. You lose natural fats, minerals, enzymes, and fibers of the whole grain. And because it's been stripped of nutrients, synthetic toxic substances like folic acid are added back through fortification. And I love sourdough, I really do. But even that leaves me feeling bloated and sluggish most of the time. So the issue isn't sourdough itself, it's the modern wheat behind it. Fermentation helps, but it doesn't fundamentally change the grain. You can't ferment your way out of an ingredient that doesn't sit well with your body. That's where Pacha comes in. Pacha's bread keeps the traditional benefits of sourdough, but removes the wheat entirely. They use just two ingredients, sprouted buckwheat and sea salt. Buckwheat is a seed, not a grain. Naturally gluten-free, self-binding, no gums, seed oils, or industrial additives. By sprouting and fermenting the whole seed, Pacha reduces digestive stress and makes the nutrients actually bioavailable. It just feels good in your system. They also use verified regeneratively grown buckwheat to help support soil health, and unlike many of the other clean brands out there, they're still independently owned and haven't been bought out by major corporations. So if you love bread but hate the bloat and sluggish feeling, and you want to support companies that are independently owned and doing the right thing for the earth, head to livepacha.com or just head to the show notes and use code THEWAYFORWARD for 10% off your order. Pacha is real food that actually loves you back.
So this electromagnetic realm that we are in does not respond to pieces of paper. It does not respond to a transmitting utility. A piece of paper is just a piece of paper. It responds to beings who are being. Like I've been saying, the more you can become that pen, become that word, become that notice, and infuse it with something of a higher energy, more morality, more virtue, more honor, more of creation itself, the more results have. Because it is an electromagnetic realm as we are electromagnetic beings. And as we be more, instead of trying to do more and change more, we will change things as a direct result of being more. And this won't be news to a lot of you, but as you start to relate it to laws and story and then how that relates to laws, L-A-W, of cause and effect, you'll start to see how powerful this can be. Okay, this might look like a barcode and confusing, but I'll just quickly run through it. If you can't see it, I'll step out of the way. Now, a lot of people have an issue with the government, okay? And that's cool. It's definitely not the best thing, especially in its current format. But govern is control and mint is might. I'm really with that. So my question to you, what is your government? Is it the U.S. Department of, like, whatever that Trump does? I don't know much about politics, so excuse my lack of patronage there. But is that your government? Because you know what my government is? It's the part of me that still doesn't think that I'm valuable enough and the part of me that still won't step up to being a man in the capacity that a man needs to be alive. That's my government.
Yeah.
So the state, the political stuff, that's why I don't even know. Like, I don't know it in my own country, so please don't be offended that I don't know it in yours. Okay, so what happens, though, is the government, the mind control, controls space and counter space as an offer until we remember who we are and we reoccupy those parts that need to be occupied that we forgot. A quick case in point that I always give to people is because my actual background is a holistic health practitioner. And a lot of you, because you follow Alec and a bunch of people, you're familiar with terrain and bioterrain. So if you have fungal infections, parasite infections, and yeast infections and whatever, is that because you have an enemy in you? Like the parasite's the enemy, it decided, or you, I'm going to attack you today. It's not, though, is it? It's because we're not doing something right. We're not eating right, breathing right, sleeping right, thinking right, feeling right. We're not acting in the capacity of a healthy human being. So life shows up in the form of a parasite or a fungus or a bacteria to what? Help us or harm us? It's to help us. It's a teacher. It's to show us where we're off track, where we are not occupying ourselves with nutrients of life and breath and sun and love. If we're not doing that, it will be occupied by something else. Then in the lawful and then into the legal world, that's your squatter's rights. If you're not going to occupy your home and look after it, well, you're going to have squatters in there. And that's legally acceptable. And it's, if you want to extend that further, if you want to stretch your ability to comprehend offers, that also extends to the skies. So everyone's aware of the skies need spread the way they are. It appears to get worse and worse with crisscrosses and whatever. But if that's just an energetic grid amongst other energetic grids, if that's there, wouldn't it be because maybe we're not? Like, what are we doing there? How are we occupying ourselves and the energetic grids that life gives us to occupy with, and we just forget? So we see something outside of ourselves. It's a symptom. It's like a fungal infection. We're like, oh, that's wrong. That's bad. That's killing me. But how many people are asking if we are responsible for that in some way, shape, or form? And beyond that, can we do something about that in some way, shape, or form by being more? Doing less, but being more. By the way, you don't have to believe anything that I say. Everything I say is just awesome. But if it's resonating with you, it's something to contemplate. So the way that the government works is that we have space, but we have counter space. It's kind of one of the ways that those magical kids were like also able to perceive something, because a color, when we see it physically or in space, it first exists in counter space or the metaphysical, and then it becomes the physical, or it shows up as a physical. Now, we're going to come back to this slide, but wanted to highlight this as a mechanism because the government, the mind control, can prevent you seeing things that are right in front of you. Or it can make you believe something is there, but it's not there. Like a virus, like COVID, then a bat mate, and became friends with steak, eating some water. Just truth and nonsense, Liam. Okay, so I just want to share a quick story because I'm blessed in my life to have come across certain teachers that appear when, as the day goes, the shooting appears. But sometimes it's just baffling me. Like somebody like, in the last talk, some people can be so advanced in ways that blows your mind. But then they'll say something that I'm like, are you 4 years old? How are you as this advanced being? Why is this coming out of your mouth? And then I'm not going to name people, but this particular man that I'm blessed to know who's been a great teacher for me, the way they are going to get everybody who didn't get vaccinated is because of the shedding. And I'm like, bro, shedding? How old are you? And he says, because it actually emits a certain distance outside of you. So even those that aren't vaccinated, they're going to vaccinate and whatever else. I'm like, I don't know how that entered into your being, but it's there. And do you know what? That can be real. Because if that's their lore, L-O-R-E, that's their story, and that is fully lived as an experience, that makes its way into the law of cause and effect. So something in them will respond to something in somebody else that connects the two together in an electromagnetic alchemical reaction, and they can have being shedded on, even though that's not a real thing. But real, as I said before, is very, very transient in its meaning because it's not real, much like my reflection in the mirror isn't real. It has no life in it. God didn't make that. And so I move away from the mirror, that's not there anymore. But it is, while I'm in front of it, a very real reflection, right? And while you're in front of your fears, your illusions, your constructs, and you're in front of them or they're in front of you, they appear very, very real. And they can drive you to do some weird and wonderful things, like jab yourself 15 times because a TV keeps telling, not you, obviously, but you know what I mean, right? You get these principles. Okay, so
It's very, very important because as you become more advanced as well, and I use advanced in a relative sense, not like we're better than everybody else, or I'm better than somebody who doesn't know this. It's not like that. But when somebody has no law of their own, and then you start to have some kind of law, well, things start to matter more. As in, if you think, feel, say, or be something, it will show up as matter far quicker, or even at all, if to somebody else it won't. They can believe anything they want, say anything they want, be anything they want, but they haven't switched on yet. So it doesn't have the same effect in the world. But for you, because you're here, it isn't by virtue of being here, you gotta remember that what matters will matter. Does that make sense? So if things matter to you that are so illusory, you may have matter forming you in the form of a tumor or a growth or something in your blood or thicket, it will become matter. And it's not to do with vaccines or shedding or anything else. It's just that it matters so much to you. You believe there's an enemy outside of you. If you're not tracking, it's all right. We're going to wind around this. I know some of you are, some of you might not be. So one of the biggest offers I've heard, as I've come across a lot of different people in the world, is that they say, it's such a shame because all the magi were killed off years ago and all the books were burnt. So all the knowledge is lost forever. Lost forever. But if we go back to here, if books exist in space and in the physical, don't they also have to first be in counter space and in the metaphysical? Where do you think that information comes from? Do you know most of what I've learned? I haven't learned from people that are books. I've learned from what I call the public library, which is where I just kind of like tap to that public library. And I'm like, oh, that could be in a book. I'll write it on paper. And now it's in space. Now it's in the physical, but it comes from that other place. Okay, so if we come back to the agreement, if we're told the magi were all killed and the books were all burnt, now there's no more magic, and we believe that, we repeat that, that's our law. Doesn't the laws, L-A-W, follow that? So basically what's happening is in the world, in reality, there is no more magic. That knowledge is lost forever. So what's happening is it just sits there in counter space, waiting for us to do the one thing that quote-unquote they don't want us to do, which is to remember. So if we are a member of something, a member of life, a member of God and that kingdom, and then we forget, we have to remember. We will become a member of that club once again. Or if I'm dismembered by people who don't like people who think for themselves, and my arms go there, my legs go there, I would have to be remembered to become whole again, right? So then when we remember, we come back into the original law, the original story of who we really are, we become whole again. When we become whole, that's the nature of the word holy. Because everybody can be is holy as we remember. But what that takes, because it has been at this point in our timeline, like it's quite, you know, prominent, it wouldn't take faith because there's a lot of illusions out there to make you think, believe, or feel otherwise. It can take a lot of belief, and it can take one of the most powerful faculties that we have, which is imagination. And this is so heavily prominent in children, and it really weans its way out of people after going through a short amount of time in the schooling system. And so, by design, as an offer, because it doesn't have to happen that way. I break the word imagination down into I, meaning the I, and the I am, magi, meaning the magic. Nat is the prefix for nature or natur, which just means of natural or of nature, and then the ion is the electromagnetic charge that makes it all happen. So imagination is the magic that I am that creates into this world, this electromagnetic realm. And if that's not powerful, well, I don't know what really is. But let's have a quick look at space and counter space. Most of you have phones in this day and age. If a phone has 256 gigabyte of memory and that memory is full or empty, does the phone weigh the same?
Yeah.
It does, right? So if it's full of memory, where is that memory? It's kind of in counter space. But here's the thing, that could be full of your notes to self. I think the world is an upside down turnip. It smells like barbecue. So I think the universe is. Oh, by the way, I've got to get eggs this afternoon at the shops. And you could have 256 gigabyte of battle, or you could have 256 gigabyte of alchemical codes to the universe, and the phone will weigh the same, right? Okay, so now let's look at paper. If you have a sheet of paper, it weighs X number of grams. You guys use grams in America? Like something of a pound or whatever? Ounces, I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, it weighs something. If you write on it, does it really change the weight of the paper? Now, I know you can argue infinitesimally, yes, but it doesn't really change the weight of the paper. So if you hand someone a piece of paper, what does it do? just a blank piece of paper. Hand somebody, hand me a piece of paper. What does that do? Well, it can do a bunch of different things, but nothing really specific, or it can kind of do nothing. If you hand me a piece of paper with Babbel on it, what does that do? If I read it, that is. It will kind of make an observation from my point of view that you're a babbler, that I'm like, what is this? Who are you? And I still have a belief or a construct in my mind about you if it has Babbel on it, right? So if you go hand someone a piece of paper with some really well-chosen words from a really well-wielded pen, it now has weight to it. Have you ever received something like that and you actually feel it's like, whoa, like you read something really profound or you've given something like a notice, like, we're going to lock you up in 2 days. You kind of go, oh, yeah, but you have a reaction, right? It's because it has weight to it. One, it's just a piece of paper with words. What's the difference between the babble and the well-written words or well-chosen words from a well-wielded pen? Remember, the pen's mightier than the sword is the old expression. Why? Because the weight doesn't come in the paper. As we've been talking about, it comes not from the words of the ink, but the essence carried in the transmitted utility. And when you wield that pen, that's your offer. You're now creating your games. Even if the counter offer to an offer give it to you, you are now creating a new game, which is super, super powerful. Okay, real quick with discharging, I just want to cover this quick because a lot of people ask me about it. All right. Yes, you can discharge any number of debts. There's ways to do that. Some will drain 2 years of your life. Some can be done relatively quickly. Either way, you will pay. There's nothing necessarily free in life. You'll pay with fiat currency or you'll pay with time and energy. Okay? This is discharge and create. There is an offer for a liability because there's no debts in our world. There's only liabilities for debts. There's a liability of a debt of 10K. Now, on this side, you can cancel that out, net zero your life, your essence, your currency with a social security number, a birth certificate number, accept the value, change it, charge it to an account, side it so you can securitize it. Bang, there's your discharge. Or you can create. You can accept the challenge. It's like, I have to come up with 10K. So you can accept the challenge. You can ask questions because most of this is about asking questions. You can overcome, you can grow, and you can be more. And that you can make 10K, you can make 100K, you can make 100 million. Whereas on the other side, aren't you, isn't that finite? It's kind of, in that example, that's a finite result. Whereas in the other side, if you want to tap into who you really are and get into your currency and spend that into the world, there's no limit to it except for what we place on ourselves. So the question is also, which one can be taken away? One thing can be taken away. If you're relying on forms and processes, they can be taken away. They cannot work, quote unquote, tomorrow. But that's not really true. That's an offer because they'll always work because they're built in. But people will succumb to that when they don't know who they are. The other can never be taken away unless you give it away. And then I always ask the question, are we creator beings or discharger beings? I'm a creator being. You can be a discharger being, but I'm a creator being. I prefer that way just because I've been through both. Now, who's that? Now, with offers. Offers are really important because a lot of the time the offer isn't about what you do, isn't about whether you pay or don't pay. It's about establishing your standing relative to the offer. That's the main game in a lot of these situations. What is your standing? Who are you really? When I present this offer to you, I can pretty well predict that you'll be like this, but if I present this offer, who are you really? And you'll be shown in relation to the offer. So who saw Joel Rafiti last night? It was awesome. He's our fellow Australian. His rapping was really, really good. He had one song where it's just like, just saying no. And it's coming across in a way that I'm about to explain. It's why that track's so powerful. So over here, we have our man, Alex Zach. Little backstory to this, by the way, I actually use, you've probably seen it. There's memes that go around and it's an illustration of a blonde dude with a little bit of a beard. And he just looks like resolutely just calm and strong. And then Alex showed me this picture. It's like, dude, it looks exactly the same. What would Alex be? And the other one is your typical woke person who has to cry and complain about literally everything. Okay. Yeah. Why is this up here? This is here because of a really, really fundamental law that's so imperative to people begin to understand is there is a huge difference between saying no to an offer and refusing an offer. Huge difference, like night and day. Why? Energy? Absolutely. Explain it. Anyone want to explain that? The massive difference. The reason is because if you say no, it's because you know you can say no. You don't have to say yes. You just have a standing. And that standing is backed by something tangible and real. It's who you are. You know who you are. You know what an offer is. You know how to handle it. That is a stupid offer. That's a massive illusion. I'm just going to say no. I don't even have to go through a three-process conditional acceptance or whatever. It's just a note. But if you don't know who you are, if you can't discern, you'll start to get real agitated and you'll start to refuse. That's why refusal is seen as belligerence and it doesn't count. It's dishonorable. So you can refuse all you like, you're still agreeing. But if you just calmly just stand there and you stand in your power, in your standing, you say, like, it just speaks for itself because there's a currency that is transmitted through the word. Remember, the word almost means nothing. We agree on the meaning of a word, but that's all it is. So it's an agreed meaning as relative to an offer. It's like a finger pointing to the moon. But we imbue that with such power that it just carries. So the no is heard, the no is felt, and the no is final. But when we refuse, we're like, no, you effing this and stupid that and like whatever. It's just angry, stamp my feet, the louder I can yell, start swearing at people, start pushing them, start inflicting violence. That's totally unnecessary and serious belligerence. It's a refusal because there's no standing. So while you're doing that, not necessarily you, but while an individual is doing that, they are affirming to life itself throughout the entire realm. They don't know who they are. They are weak, small, and disempowered. They wish mommy and daddy were there to save them. And they're throwing words out there like, my dad's a black belt. It's like, can't you speak for yourself? Just be who you are. It's not a real threat. Yeah, that's funny, but like you get the energy behind it, right? So that's the huge difference. And when you receive an offer and it's to establish your stand, you'll know one way or another who you are based on your response to that particular kind of offer.
If you listen to this show, you are probably well aware that there's something seriously off with our modern food systems. And even a lot of food labeled organic isn't what it seems. Some of it's shipped in from China where regulations are murky at best, and other times companies slap the USDA organic label on while cutting corners and doing the absolute bare minimum in order to achieve that label. That's why Dr. Cowan's Garden exists. Founded by Dr. Tom Cowan, they believe health starts with food. Real food, the way that it's supposed to be grown. They call their sourcing Beyond Organic, which means they're working with small family-run farms who are going above and beyond the USDA organic label when it comes to growing their food. These farms care deeply about soil health and nutrient density, and some are even biodynamic certified, the highest farming standard in the world. At Dr. Cowan's Garden, they use proper processing techniques. Techniques that humans have used for thousands of years because they actually work. Nuts and grains are soaked or sprouted just as traditional cultures did. Olive oils and apple cider vinegars are never heated, preserving fragile nutrients. Olive oil is protected from light because oxidation matters. The list goes on and on. The products at Dr. Cowan's Garden are made to be deeply nourishing and also incredibly delicious. Foods that you actually enjoy eating and foods that make healthy decisions actually feel good. Dr. Cowan's Garden is not about fads, it's not about fear, and it's definitely not about following government health recommendations. It's about reclaiming a simple trust in your food. If you value transparency, tradition, and food that respects both your body and nature, head to drcowansgarden.com or just head to the show notes and use code THEWAYFORWARD for 15% off your first order. Welcome back to Real Nourishment.
Okay, now at this point, you're probably thinking, because I've had these discussions, probably thinking, yeah, but the other days the police turned up to this property and they've got a PMA and they're selling raw milk and the police just came in and they just arrested people and just barged their way in and whatever and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that'll happen. I'm definitely not standing up here suggesting that you just have to be like some kind of like guru and nothing applies to you anymore. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm going to get to the way this plays out shortly, but I'm not suggesting that because possession is not intensive the law. And if somebody else possesses the powers and guns and pieces of paper with writing on them that you believe is real, it's just kind of like, there's only so much you can do, but that is an offer. You get to what? So there are many stages to knowing yourself. I like to break it down into three main stages. The first is being aware that there are offers and you want to go into what you might call a conditional acceptance of an offer, which simply means, look, you're welcome to offer me anything you want and I'll be the one that decides whether I take it or not. Do you know so many people are afraid of an offer? They're like, I hope I don't get something today. I hope no one bothers me today. They energetically try to shut it off because they know deep down inside they don't really know how to handle it. Does that make sense? So the actual action is a talk agreement of an inner span of being, which is not one of them. And that's totally okay, by the way. I'd be there. Most people would be there. That's okay. But the way that you learn how to handle an offer is to learn how to handle offers with a conditional accept. It's okay for you to ask me that and I'll be happy to perform. I'll be happy to pay. I'll be happy to whatever as long as, do I have to?
Can you show me how and why I have to, that I'm agreed to, that I've signed for it, I've contracted, some way on everything that I've asked to, other than you telling me? Because that's just enough. So if you can learn how to do conditional acceptances, that's a great way to start getting footing into being standard. It's also called a negotiation or a counter offer, which you're all familiar with because we all do POMOs every day, whether it's an idea that I asked you to just go stand up here. There's no money involved, but there's energy involved. Okay. Now, after that, I say, you know, begin to admire your standing. That's when you can just start saying no. You don't have to go through three steps of noticing, condition acceptance, you know, fault, default, agreement, conditional agreement, task agreement, all that. Those are all powerful. Those all matter. But I'm just giving you the progression. You're going to say no. And then beyond that, it doesn't even apply to you because of the natural law principle of frequency is location. I first heard this way of describing it from Joseph Gardner, who unfortunately couldn't come to this festival. He talks about it in those terms. Frequency is location. So what it means is that when you are occupying your true standing and you're really affecting your mark in the world as an electromagnetic being, those won't be there. You will not be in a space and time where somebody tries to use force to enter your property like that. Who's had the experience directly of just not receiving much from the government anymore when they used to? Or who at least knows somebody who just never sees police around. And every time somebody else goes out on the road, they're like, there's a cop, there's a cop, there's a cop. They do a random drug test there. There's a breath test there. And other people are just driving around going, there's police in the world. I didn't even know any. Okay, frequency is location. It's not an accident. There are no accidents in law. It is all based on law, L-O-R-E, which makes its way into cause and effect. What are you pulling towards you? Now, also remember, under natural law, there are no victims. Everything happens by way of oscillator and agreement, which means we create it. We consent or ask it in some way, shape, or form. So it's for us. It's not happening to us. When we can frame it that way and live it that way, we can receive the gift of that teacher. Now, if you have a teacher appear and you're just like, bugger off, I don't listen to teachers. I don't know you already. I'm not listening to you. I don't like your haircut. Like, I'm a rebellion guy. Wait, if you do that with your teacher, how many times do you think that teacher is going to keep showing up in the same or do it? They'll constantly appear. But when you're willing to have the lesson, receive the gifts, being spread out here at the journey, master both worlds. Well, you don't need to meet that teacher again. You have shown life that life does not need to give you that teacher anymore. And that's God. But also you might get a bit full of yourself and think, well, I'm just, yeah, you know, I know how to handle cops. Somebody comes to my property, I'll just shoot him. You know, I know my rights, I know the laws. But when you fall into that, you're falling into your own sense of being like a God figure. Like, I know right from wrong. I know this, I know that, I can do whatever I want. That's when life will show up to test you and it'll put you on your bar or behind a bar or something like that. But it's just because we forget who we are, we fall into the illusory identity form of who we are, which is not who we are. Okay, so who here is their driver license or their passport? No one. Put your hands down. Nobody is their identification. Nobody is their name. Okay, so you're also not this man or woman who is like right above everything. Yes, you can walk on water as the parables speak about in the Bible, but it's not about that. It's not a power thing. It's a being thing, and it's just relative to everything else. Okay? So just be aware that you can get other teachers and other offers if you start to identify with something and it's not really you. Life will test you. This I brought up at Adam Hooker, but I didn't have a lot of time to explain it, so I'm going to kick it in every other way. Okay, so this is just my model. You don't have to believe this is a factual way that life is created. It's just what I've perceived for myself. Now, up top, we have doing everything and leaving everything undone. That's the world of doing and thinking we're crushing and we're changing the world and whatever we do. But it's all happening in the world. Right down the bottom, if you can't see it, I'll read it to you. It says, doing nothing and leaving nothing undone. That's a quote from the Tao. Now, there's this awesome white dog hanging around. Has everyone seen the white dog? The big selfie one? I don't know if he owns it, but it's an amazing dog. All I've seen that dog doing is absolutely nothing. Yeah. But in the process of doing nothing, she's been doing absolutely everything. Has created such joy in people. I see so many children just there, just softening into their own being, patting this dog. The dog is doing nothing, but it's literally leaving nothing undone. It is being exactly what God wanted it to be, to give the gift that he's here to give, doing nothing. Although that appears to us as nothing. It's actually doing everything in the real sense. But if the dog's running around trying to like lick everyone and pee in here and then try to bark at everyone to come over here, it's doing everything but what it's here to do. You see, you have the analogy? All right, so
Zone one is the world. This is what most of us become aware of initially. It's the world and it's called reality. But I'd write it as reality for a reason. Al, the prefix AL, means of God. It's why in that particular language, it's Allah, of God. So the world, that's a reality. So we talk about reality, like this is reality, but re, if you reheat food, it means it's already been heated. If you rewind a movie, it's already been watched. Re is to redo. So we're redoing the real thing. So reality in the quote unquote real. That's why people describe it as a hologram or a projection or a whatever other word you want to use. Now, under this line that separates reality from the seen from the unseen, or space from counter space, or physical from metaphysical, we have governance because it really does affect the way we perceive as a construct of the mind, the world that we exist in. On that line, that level up bearing zone two, we also have programs, reflections, construct simulations, patterns, intent, and beliefs. I'm just going to really quickly talk about intent because I'm going to leave you with an exercise I believe could really help. Who here does breath work or done some breath work here? I find it's an amazingly profound tool to access different parts of ourselves. It really is. And I do it. But what I'm going to tell you, or share with you, I should say, but I didn't tell you anything, to share with you what I've learned about breath is there is a part of breath, which should make a lot of sense to everybody, that we don't have to control. In many different languages, the word for breath is also the word for spirit. So spirit just kind of not, spirit is spirit. It doesn't need us to guide spirit. Spirit guides us. So why would we need to guide breath? So if we put intent into breath, like I'm going to breathe to this amount, hold for this, breathe out for that, we are putting intent, which is actually interfering with the natural way of things. There is a way to experience breath that brings us into a part of being that cannot be accessed through the conscious control or interference. Now, does that make breath work better? No, it does. I was just wanting to see what you thought. I'm impressed at that. It's amazing. I still do that form of breath work daily. Why? Because it's inherently powerful. It's just that I also do the kind that gets me closer and closer to what we call ality or essence. That part of us that is beyond identity, beyond intent, beyond belief. We can't get to it through intent. As soon as we put intent in, we're out of it. We need to remove that. And beyond that, we've got our entities, the egregores, spells, and illusions. And then once we get beyond that, and that whole section of zone two is designed to keep us in debt. Indebted to the office. Okay, then below that, it's zone three. That's where we have essence. That's the nature of being what we really are. The most unique thing on earth is the essence of who and what we are. Are your beliefs unique? Not really. Everyone has a lot of the same beliefs. What about patterns? A lot of people react the same way to the same thing. So those are programs. They're not unique at all. They are not you. But the essence of who you really are, that most subtle aspect of your being, is absolutely unique and therefore the absolutely most valuable thing in this realm. And that's reality. That's life right there. Okay, when they, quote unquote, place, when they give offers, it's not coming from the world. It's coming from off-world, so to speak. That's how the government controls all of that. If you allow, that's why I ask, like, what's your government? Because if you're not aware of that, we think we're doing something by telling like an agent of the state that we don't want to be this name anymore, or we don't want whatever, but it's not where it comes from. It's also not what, where we come from. So if we're in the world thinking that we use a certain color pen and it fixes all of that, we're kind of saying the wrong thing to the wrong people. And we're not really knowing who we are or where we come from either. Very important part of all of this. So our standing, we stand under the creator. And when we remember, we're good. But when we forget, we place ourselves under government. We become a name, an entity, a driver, a citizen, resident, taxpayer. Any kind of entity is not there.
Baldwin and not beaming.
So that's why when we think like how the quote unquote government do this, it's because when we put ourselves under government, we make ourselves a subject. We act in the capacity of a name. Or an identity. And therefore, what could never, ever be done lawfully and fairly to a man or woman who is living can be done fairly and lawfully and legally to a subject. Because that's our doing as an author. We form an agreement that we're a subject. We act in the capacity of a subject. And that's how it's like, well, how could you do that? Well, how could that be fair? How could that be moral? And you can argue that it's not, but it's just by way of agreement. Author. Acceptance, non-acceptance, or silence, and then agreement is false. Okay, so I want to leave you with these. I find these very, very powerful. Fear not. This is a paraphrase, but from Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Then from the Tao chapter 50, those who know how to live, walk abroad without fear of rhinos or tigers, they will not be wounded in battle. But in them, the rhino finds no place to thrust its horns, nor the tiger to use its claws, and weapons no place to pierce. Why is this? Because they have no place to get to enter. This really highlights the nature of the offer. Now, my wife took these photos of me years ago, and I was like, I don't put it into riding unicorns, because a lot of people think that you just get to a certain place where you can bypass and just bless everything. And you don't have to become more, because you could just bless stuff and ride unicorns into the fifth dimension and have a grand old time. But it's just it's not really how things blow. So then the serenity prayer, also like, Creator, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And then coming back to what I put in the model, the world is governed by letting things take their course. It cannot be governed through interference. Again, another reminder to keep remembering who you are, to be more, to become more, to become who you are, and you will have that effect in the world. This is not through interference. This is the last slide I want to leave you with. So as a process to get to do this for real, if you can fortify your electromagnetic field by strengthening the mind, not allowing things to permeate, you will be stronger. From there, you can learn to still your mind. That's where you transcend the world, the reality, and get into the stillness of mind. Clarity is full rather than access is full. Once you do that, we get into the heart space, one of the most powerful places we can actually be. And beyond that, we get into the most gentle, subtle aspect of who we are, which transcends a lot of what people feel disempowered by. So if you create from your essence, everything is good. But if you're yelling at Jews, there's less of your essence. But if you're pleasantly amused, you're lighter, there's more of it. If you're concerned with they, quote unquote, there's less of it. If you're invested in you, there's more of it. If you're watching the news, there's less of it. But if you're creating the new as an offer, as a game of your own, there's a lot more of it. If you're staying indebted, there's less. If you're connecting and co-creating with law, there's a lot more of it. Nothing can ever be taken from you, but you can give it away. That's why it's always a choice. That's why, as we boil it down, everything is an offer. Thanks so much for coming.